The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Adam Fields, Midnight 27 Studios owner and creator of the comic book series Prowl. You are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 351. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Now, my guest just appeared a mere few months ago, actually August to be exact, with his brother, talking about a couple of their projects. I'm talking about my guest, Lee Exifer. Lee is the man behind Altered Ego, and he has a second issue of that comic coming out, and he has a Kickstarter, which, I'm going to be honest with you, funded the day that we recorded this episode. Like, he kicked it off at 8 in the morning, and by the time we spoke later on that evening, it had been funded, I think he said, in 5 hours. So that's a great thing. That's awesome for Lee. But the main point that we make through our conversation, you can still participate in the Kickstarter. There's a lot of stretch goals. It's free stuff, actually. If you plunk down your cash, you're going to get a bunch of free stuff from Lee. So we talk about the Kickstarter. We talk about the book itself. We talk about Lee and some of his inspirations, including his love of Batman, the animated series, which, by the way, turns 30 years old this year. As I said, Lee and his brother Nate were on in August talking about all of their projects and what it's like working with one another. We're going to focus on Alter Ego, but don't worry, we will also talk about a couple of those other projects that Lee is involved with. So it's going to be a great episode, but before we get to that episode, it's time for me to remind you about a great sponsor of this podcast, World's Greatest Comics. You hear me say it all the time. World's Greatest Comics is a 5-star comic book store. And if you need a comic book store to call your own, you can't go wrong by visiting the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pull system, a friendly staff, a clean store. They got it covered, folks. So you owe it to yourself to go over and check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Lee Exifer. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with Lee Exifer. Lee, you are the man behind Altered Ego, and this is your second appearance on the PVD Cast, by the way.
That is true. Glad to be back.
Yeah, you and your brother Nate were on back in August when we talked about your different projects, and you had mentioned that there was going to be a Kickstarter happening for Altered Ego issue 2, if I recall.
That's correct. Yeah, number 2.
And so, first of all, let's tell the folks a little bit about the project, just a brief summary, maybe without giving away too much.
Sure, yeah. Altered Ego is a comic series about a woman with no powers in a world where everyone else is trying to be a famous superhero. As much as she wants to avoid the spotlight, an upcoming superhuman celebration has brought a threat she can't ignore and attention she can't escape. Like you mentioned, this is the second issue. I got the first issue out last year. It was a successful Kickstarter. which I was pumped about, just launched the second issue today, and we've already been funded. We met the goal, and I'm at two stretch goals right now.
That happened in less than 24 hours.
That's correct. I was funded in 5 hours, and the stretch goals have been racking up since then.
Okay, well, let's talk about those stretch goals real quick. What are some of the ones that you've unlocked? What's some of the ones that are still waiting to be unlocked?
Sure. Let me scroll down so I don't speak out of turn here. Okay. The first stretch goal we had unlocked was an event ticket. It's for a fictional event. It's not a real event. It's just like a marketing thing. But in the book, in issue one, our main character, Sue, accidentally wins tickets to another character, It Girl, her VIP party experience. And that sort of sets the stage for Sue coming face to face with some of the superheroes that she's grown to hate. So I thought it'd be fun to just design what it would look like if it was a real event. So again, it's not a real event that I'm holding, but it's just like a piece of memorabilia from the book. So we have event tickets was the first stretch goal. The second one was a trading card. I did a trading card series for the first issue and then one for this issue as well. What I decided to do for the first 100 backers this time is to give away trading cards from the first series. So this second stretch goal is a free mystery trading card from the first series. Next to be unlocked, hopefully soon, we have a magnet featuring Sue, the main character, and then a button featuring It Girl's logo. And I have a handful more planned. If we get to that point, I'll reveal them hopefully soon.
Okay, cool. It's got to feel great to be funded already. I mean,
yeah.
From hearing tales from other creators over the years of how stressful Kickstarter can be, it's got to be, Lee, you got to be ecstatic that kind of the anxiety and maybe some of the angst is already gone.
Oh, absolutely. It was a really weird feeling, excuse me, today because, you know, launching the Kickstarter, you feel pumped. You're like, I'm ready. We'll see what happens. And, you know, there's anxiety there. And then when I got funded pretty quick, you know, 5 hours I was funded, it was a mix of relief, but then also I was even more amped up. So my brain was like crossing signals. Like, I don't know what to do. Do I take a break? Do I get on and brag about it? So it was a little bit of a roller coaster, but it was really fun. I do have to say my very first Kickstarter I did was for Altered Ego number one. That was last year. And as soon as I hit that launch button, I legit felt like I was going to throw up. Like I was so, so anxious. It was too much. Fortunately, I was funded that day also. It happened in the evening. So it was about 12 hours, I think. So that was, again, a huge relief, but nothing's going to compare with that first launch click. So I was a little more prepared this time.
Let's not undersell that you can still donate to the Kickstarter because it's going on to what? Did I read somewhere like November 2nd?
That sounds right. Yes, November 2nd.
Okay. So
30 days from today.
So you can still help out folks if you're listening, you like what you hear. And we're going to talk more about Altered Ego, but I just feel like we need to plug that Kickstarter really quickly here. Even though it's funded, that doesn't mean that the game's over. You know, Lee mentioned he's got some cool stretch goals to unlock, and I'm sure that Lee would not say no to more money, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, even though I did get funded, that doesn't mean it's over. That just means that I met the minimum cost that I needed to raise in order to print the books. But there's still going to be plenty of books for everybody who's interested. There's a lot of other rewards still available, including a lot of original art that's not been claimed. So one of a kind, once it's gone, it's gone. There's quite a handful of that left. And then a lot more stretch goals, which means every time we hit a new milestone, everybody gets stuff for free. So it's definitely, now is the best time to back, actually, because you're already guaranteed to succeed. It's not like you're going to pledge and something's not going to happen. And you're guaranteed to get free stuff at this point.
There you go. What more do you need, folks? What more motivation do you need?
Yes, yeah, smash that donate button.
And folks can find it just by going to Kickstarter.com, look up Altered Ego.
Yeah, that's right. This chapter two, I'm calling Altered Ego VIP. VIP is the name of the chapter, and it's issue two. The first issue is also available through this Kickstarter for new readers looking to catch up.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the tale. We've given all the hype to the Kickstarter. Let's let folks know a little bit about the book. How would you describe the character of Sue, your protagonist of the book?
Yeah, she is, in a lot of ways, my spirit animal. one of the things that I was thinking about when I was sort of creating the character, just coming up with, you know, phrases before really biting into what she does and everything. But one of the things that I thought about was that she's sort of like the millennial version of a like washed out old cop who hates, you know, working on the beat. That doesn't exactly translate through to what the final thing is, but she's a woman who is all her life. She wanted to be a superhero and she lives in a world where superpowers are commonplace. So it's an actual thing that someone could achieve in their life is to be a superhero. She never got powers. She tried to be a superhero anyway. She failed at that. And now she just has a disdain for everybody else who is sort of throwing away their chance at being a superhero. In this world, most people who have powers, rather than becoming superheroes, are just trying to be famous. It's sort of like the thought that I had was, if people had powers in real life, you know, some of them probably would try to better the world, but a lot of people would just make dumb TikToks or dumb YouTube videos.
Right.
So, you know, overlaying that with a superhero thing, like if somebody who wanted to be a superhero in real life and sees these other people just making dumb videos and just has a disdain for all of that. But of course, this is still a superhero book, so there is action. And, you know, her story doesn't end there. That's the beginning of the story.
It would be fair to say that, like, the theme for Altered Ego is kind of that search for fitting in. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say search for fitting in, definitely finding your place. Also, finding some type of privacy, I think, would be a theme.
Okay. You
know, one of the things is, like, oversharing everything that makes people special. Like in the real world, in our world, you have jerks like me who can draw, who are just self-promoting and going on podcasts and making Kickstarters trying to make money. And in her world is people with like laser vision doing the exact same thing. And so in a world where that's sort of the normal, like having a secret identity when everything's out for display, but definitely also, yes, fitting in. Sue does not fit in with, non-powered people because she wants to be a superhero, and she doesn't fit in with superheroes because she, or at least the superheroes that she meets in her day-to-day life, because she doesn't have that like vanity about her.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of the other characters. And I know some of these characters have already been in volume one or issue one. Yeah. But several are making their debut, according to what you've been posting online and whatnot. So let's maybe just to briefly discuss them a little bit. Let's start with Edgelord. Who is Edgelord, and how does he fit into the world of Altered Ego?
Yeah, so I have in Altered Ego, there are six main characters. And then each issue I have four like background characters that I've decided to give names to, a couple lines, and just a little bit of backstory. So in all honesty, Edgelord doesn't really factor into the story at all, but I thought he was a cool character with a cool idea. So he is, his power is that he can fly, and he has targeted the teenage boy demographic. So he makes like really juvenile, dumb videos. In this issue, this doesn't spoil anything, but you see him, he can fly, so he's in air, and he farts and acts like that's his propulsion. Like that's how. <it's supposed to.
laughs> That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I'm a juvenile at heart as well. I'm a juvenile boy.
Exactly. You get it. Like you understand.
Yeah. How about Jenny, who is and I'm not 100% sure if this is a group or what, so you may have to explain. Jenny with the Capes of Wrath?
Yeah. So I just thought it would be dumb, like, or not dumb, but it would be funny. Like people introduce themselves sometimes like with their company name. You know, so Capes of Wrath is her company that she uses. Her power is that she has, like, she produces silk from her saliva. And so she makes clothing, and the clothing brand or company or whatever is called Capes of Wrath. So okay. She introduces herself as, "Hi, I'm Jenny with Capes of Wrath." I just thought it was funny that that would be like her official name is Jenny with Capes of Wrath.
All right. How about the Plinkster?
Yeah, the Plinkster is one we get a little more background on. She's not a main character, but she has more to do in the story than the previous two that we talked about. So her power is she has hyper marksmanship. So she's essentially like a Hawkeye type or a Daredevil, something like that, where she can just, you know, meet any, or maybe Bullseye would be a better thing. She's part of It Girl's clique. Mm-hmm. So we see her in the VIP celebration. She is slightly jealous of people who are more famous than her, but she also sucks up to them completely to get on their good side. So I had a lot of fun seeing the like duality, the two-facedness of mm-hmm. her character.
All right, let's talk about a favorite of mine, and it might be my favorite character that I was introduced to in issue one. Let's talk about Carol.
Yes. Carol is everybody's favorite. And if you don't know that yet, you just haven't read the book yet. But Carol is, she's Sue's roommate. She used to be a superhero and she retired when she got stuck in the form of a cat. She's a shapeshifter, or she was a shapeshifter. She retired when she got stuck in the form of a cat. So now she just lives her life as a cat. in Sue's apartment. So she's not Sue's pet, she's her roommate, and because she has, you know, her history as a superhero, she's able to give Sue advice, and because she's stuck as a cat, she also like lives vicariously through Sue and her adventures.
All right, and the last character I have here is Ultraviolet, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, was introduced in issue one.
That is incorrect. She is new to this.
Okay. She's new. Okay.
Yeah. She is. She's another part of It Girl's clique. So she's similar to the Plinkster. And this character, she's a light bender, which means that she can just slightly change her appearance. Another name that I was toying with for her would have been Filter. So she like, the idea is she just sort of looks like she has an Instagram filter on her at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she, actually, this is a funny story. I was thinking at some point, like, if I was a shapeshifter, what would be an ethical way to make money? Because the thing you think about is like, I would just pretend to be like the president of a bank, go in and withdraw money or whatever, like things like that. Or just essentially pretending to be someone you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea that I had for how to like ethically make money if I was a shapeshifter would be, I would just like create an attractive woman and be like an OnlyFans model. Like, I think that's the most ethical way to make the most money as a shapeshifter. So that was the idea, is that she... And then I didn't want to do like two shapeshifters. So I just thought, what if she could just slightly like change the light around her? So she's found success working as a cam model. And we don't see any of that. That's just the backstory. This is rated PG-13, so it doesn't get graphic or anything.
Okay.
But the idea is that she's just really dumb. She's always on her phone. And she called herself Ultraviolet because her name is Violet also.
Okay. What's been the inspiration for this tale?
Yeah, so this is the third book that I've worked on. The first was Rock of Pages, the second is The Wild, and then this one is Altered Ego. The third is Altered Ego. They've all been, or at least Rock of Pages and Altered Ego, like Rock of Pages was the story of my 20s, essentially. It was me graduating college and sort of figuring out what I wanted to do. And the short answer is I wanted to make comics. And then Altered Ego is sort of the story of my 30s, where like it's a reaction to trying to make comics and putting myself out there. So it's definitely a reaction to social media, self-promotion, you know, that kind of thing, where like the realities of trying to make money with your talent.
Mm-hmm.
And social media is a big part of it, but also just going to conventions and hearing other people's pitches. And, you know, my brother Nate and I go to conventions together, and it's, I would say, it happens every time where we just sort of look around and we're like, what a weird thing to do. You know, like just take a weekend, just go to a city, set up a big display with your art and just try to sell it to random people who are walking by. And then the people walking by are also, that's another story of weird sometimes. So it's just like, it's just a reaction to all of that.
You know, when you say it that way, it, and I mean this in all seriousness, it does sound very weird and very odd.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, it's normal because I've been doing it for so long, and it's normal to a lot of people who have fun doing it. But, you know, it is also weird, like, there are people who are not in on it. Like, you know, if I would ever tell coworkers, like, oh, I'm going to be at the, you know, the Cincinnati Comic Expo this weekend, they're like, what is that? And then sometimes they will come, and you see the look on their face, they're like, what is this? Who are these people? So it is fun to see it through their eyes and just to sort of take a step back and be like, yeah, this is a weird thing that we do. You know, I love it. I wouldn't change a thing, but it is fun to just, like I said, take a step back and be like, look at it in all facets of it.
So how many more issues do you see Altered Ego going? I'm assuming you have them already kind of mapped out or outlined.
That's right. Yeah. So it's going to be a 6-issue miniseries. All of it is written as I go through and work on the art. You know, I will rewrite certain things, but it definitely has an ending. It's going to end at issue 6. If I were to continue the world, it would be a completely different story. It's not going to be like, I decided to do another story arc or, you know, an issue 7 because things just weren't fitting in. Everything is planned out. It's, you know, beginning, middle, end. We'll end with issue 6.
Then any ideas for maybe doing a collection or a graphic novel, or is that too far down the road?
Yeah, no, I would love to do that. I will wait until everything is done. At this point, the focus is getting the single issues out. So it would be, you know, after issue 6 comes out. And at that point, currently I'm sort of thinking like, we'll see at that point how many issue 1s I have left in stock. You know, sort of play it by that. I also don't want to do too many Kickstarters like back to back. And I would want to do something to reward people who have already purchased the single issues. So if I did a trade or graphic novel, I wanted to have something extra to give people a reason to buy that who maybe have already got the single issues.
Okay, cool. Well, I have one final question, and then we're going to talk about some other things here.
Okay.
About Altered Ego, but I think, Lee, it might throw you for a loop. All right?
I'm ready.
Let's pretend it's the future, and Altered Ego gets picked up by a film company.
Okay.
Who plays Sue?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I haven't thought about that. That is a really good question. Who would be good?
Caught you off guard, didn't I?
Yeah, you are. I'm drawing a blank. I think I'm not familiar with very many like young actresses.
Right, because obviously, when you know, casting for this, there's an age kind of conundrum, right? You know, you don't want somebody that's too young, you don't want somebody that's too old, somebody that's going to be in that right spot in their chronology, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. First thought, I don't remember her name. First thought is she played, oh no, I don't even remember the character's name. In the Iron Fist TV show, it was the woman who was like Danny's girlfriend, and then she got his powers, I think, at the end.
Is that Colleen Wing?
Yeah, that sounds right.
She was hold on. Oh, Jessica Henwick. That's the actress's name.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yep. That's a solid pick. That's very pretty solid good. Pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to have a hot take here. She was the best part of Iron Fist because that TV show was not very good.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not a hot take.
I think that's my bottom of the Marvel TV, I mean, including Netflix and Disney. I think Iron Fist is pretty low on the totem pole. It might be, for me, the worst.
Yeah, I think so. I will say I haven't watched all of them, so I can't exactly give a fair assessment. But of the ones I've watched, that's definitely near the bottom, if not the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. Iron Fist was bad, especially season one.
Yeah.
Season one was awful.
Disappointment. Because I haven't read much Iron Fist. Like the one, I've read the same one that everybody's read. I forget, is it Matt Fraction? Matt Faction.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've read that, so that's my only exposure to Iron Fist, and the random times that he pops up in other Marvel events. So that's all that I was going on. But yeah,
same here. I've never read any Iron Fist either. Even the Matt Fraction stuff, I haven't read. Okay. He's a character that like didn't really like really pull me in. You know what I mean? So I'm with you on that.
And for me, like the cool thing about him is his costume. You know, he's got a unique looking costume, and he didn't wear it.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Oh my!
He's just the guy from Game of Thrones.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Lee for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a proud sponsor of the PVD Cast, and they're also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, posters, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. So, swing on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is the website. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, let's talk a little bit about you. Okay. So let's go back a little bit. You are an Ohio boy, correct?
That's true.
Born and raised out in Dayton?
Yes, born and raised in Dayton. I lived in Cincinnati for about 14 years, and I just moved back to Dayton this year.
Okay. And obviously you have a brother, but did you have any other siblings?
I have a sister. Yeah, we have a sister as well. She's the oldest. And she is an engineer, so not totally opposite of what we do.
So what was it like growing up? Were Nate and you constantly like creating books and creating ideas? Or were you someone like me that you had all of the G.I. Joes out and you spent the whole day just playing G.I. Joe around the house? Like what was a typical day like for Lee and Nate?
It was both. Yeah, we definitely played action figures a lot. We did have a big bag of G.I. Joes. I think, I don't know if bag is right. I think they may have been in a tin at some point. But we did have G.I. Joes. We had Transformers. Turtles was big for us, Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
And then at some point, we did just do the like Toy Story thing where we just had a universe built of the random toys that happened to be there. So that was a big thing. And we did draw all the time and we did do books. I know when we were first talking about doing the Kickstarter for The Wild, we thought it would be fun to have some reward where we like reprint one of our childhood books that was awful. That would just be like, just for fun, you know. to say, like, this is where we came from. It ended up not being worth the time to, like, scan it and figure all that out. We might still do something like that in the future. I think it would be really fun, but I also don't know who would actually want it. Like, it would be fun for us. But yeah, we did create books together all the time. So we've always had a good relationship, and that's been great.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other hobbies when you're, you know, getting away from creating comics and whatnot? Do you have something else that you enjoy spending time doing?
Yeah. So it's funny, like, since art has basically become a part-time job, I don't do it for fun a whole lot. Like, it is fun, but I don't consider it a hobby anymore. When I was, you know, in college or high school or younger than that, it was a hobby. So now my only hobby is that I play guitar also.
Oh, cool.
That's the only other thing that I generally spend time on and money on.
Okay. Well, you've mentioned the Wild, and I think we would not be doing, or I would not be doing, my duty as a podcast host to not talk about it. You work on this comic with your brother, Nate.
Yeah, right.
Can you give a brief little synopsis for those folks that might need that about what The Wild is all about?
Yeah, The Wild is a comic about a world of animals that's been returned to the law of the jungle after the fall of their magical kingdom. And the story follows a wolf who was raised by sheep. As he's struggling to find his place in the world, along the way, he gets pulled into a bigger adventure to save the animal kingdom. This one, as you mentioned, is a collaboration between me and Nate. I'm writing it, and he's doing the art for it.
And what's the status right now of the book? Because I know that is there two issues out or just one?
We have four issues out now.
Four. Okay. You have four out. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The Kickstarter for chapter four was this year. It was in the spring this year. It was successfully funded. We got that out. We got everything backed. And it debuted at cons after that. So we officially have four chapters out. This is one we have the first six issues planned out. It'll be a complete story arc with a beginning, middle, end. But we definitely have it open for more stories, and we would like to continue after that. We just wanted to give, like, the first story arc a worthy ending. But it's also a little bit open-ended, and we hope to do more stories in the Wild universe.
I know that you do a lot of commission works, and Lee, I may have asked you this in August, so I apologize if it's a repeat, but do you have a favorite character that you like to do when you do commissions?
Yeah, when I do commissions, I typically, people typically hire me to draw women, which is fine. I like drawing women. I have fun with it. I probably draw Harley Quinn the most. I think part of that is because they're... are so many versions of her. It's easy to put her in different costumes or situations. Personally, I think the first costume could not be beat, but I have fun, you know, experimenting with different things. My personal favorite character is Superman, but nobody hires me to draw Superman.
Well, Supergirl, I saw on Facebook you had Supergirl, so that's close.
I did a Supergirl. That was it was a lot of fun to do the Supergirl. I think, you know, again, I like drawing women, and I like drawing, like, pinup style, cheesecake stuff, but it was fun to do a woman where, like, the cleavage wasn't the biggest draw of the thing, so that was fun. I did experiment. I did a little more closer to the CW costume, which was fun to play with.
Well, speaking of Harley Quinn and speaking of some of these characters, I know that you had recently just posted that you took a stab at drawing Batman, because the Batman animated series just had its 30th anniversary?
Yeah, this year is the 30th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about your fandom for that show.
Yeah, I think that is probably the biggest influence on me as a creator, both in terms of the art and then the storytelling. When I was a kid, it came out in 92, for everybody who can do that math. when I was a kid, I remember it was too scary for me at that point. I think I knew I had seen part of the Tim Burton movies, And that was definitely too scary for me at that time. So I think it was just like sort of related from that. But then middle schoolish, I got into it on the reruns. And man, I fell in love with it. The character designs, like I think my style is very close to animation or very animation inspired. And Bruce Timm in particular, like I was just drawing those characters nonstop. Like all of my sketchbooks from like the middle school years are just Batman the Animated Series characters. And, you know, I think my style has evolved since then, but that's definitely the influence. And then I got the series whenever it came out on DVD. I think I was in college and it was fun going back to that. I did a rewatch maybe a year or two ago. And it's just great. Like the music is so good, the voice acting. I will say this is my hot take.
Okay.
As great as the show is, there are a lot of episodes and a lot of them are bad. Like the good ones are amazing, but there are some that, man, like I never want to watch again. Like there are a lot with like animal people that I didn't remember. Like I know there's one with like Catwoman gets turned into a cat. And then there's another one with like werewolves. And I don't know. There's a lot of turds in there.
Well, Gotham is a wild place, man. You never know what villain's going to pop up.
That's true. Especially the early episodes. The early ones were like the very first episode was On Leather Wings, which is the Man-Bat episode. Beautiful animation, cool story. And then like the next maybe like 20 episodes is very hit or miss. Definitely the later like half of the series, way more that are amazing. But yeah, so my hot take is as awesome as it is, there's a lot of not good stuff.
How many seasons did that run?
I think it depends on how you qualify it.
Okay.
I know the first season, actually, let me back up. Talking about the series from my youth, I do remember I was at a bookstore and there was a book called Batman Animated, and it was essentially just like an art book of the series. And I got it, and that was like my favorite book for like middle school, high school. Like there's so many good things, like storyboards, character designs, different merchandise they had too. Like, you know, they did like 3D models of some of the characters so they could see them and things. So I don't think it's still in print, but if you're a fan of the series and can track it down, it is amazing. So this is where I know things about the series, long story short. But it was initially ordered with 65 episodes. I think they aired that technically in two different seasons. I could be wrong there. And then there was a second season ordered, and I think a third season. Somewhere along the way, they changed the name of the series to The New Adventures of Batman and Robin. And the studio basically said, we want Robin in every episode because kids like those episodes better. And then essentially the same creative team worked on Superman, the animated series. And then the studio was like, let's do some more Batman. And that's when they did the redesign. And I think that would be considered the fourth season. I know that the production number and the airing number, like there are two different ways they number the series. Like the DVDs are ordered differently than how they are on HBO Max.
Okay.
So I would say three or four seasons, depending on how you look at it.
Okay. That's fascinating how I always am interested in the backstory, like, you know, because I don't remember the New Adventures of Batman and Robin. So very, very curious about that, about the manipulation of how the studio gets involved. I'm always fascinated by that, no matter what whatever the topic is. I just watched a Toy Galaxy documentary on G.I. Joe, the movie.
Okay.
Kind of how Hasbro had their fingers in the pie and all that jazz, you know. Okay. So I'm always fascinated by that.
Yeah, it's always fun, like as an adult, looking back on trivia or like gaining new trivia on the things you loved as a kid. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's why that was the way that is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, Lee, let's start wrapping things up. Let's talk about social media, the website. Do you have any appearances coming up in the next few months?
I actually don't have any appearances scheduled. I just did the Cincinnati Comic Expo last weekend. Right now, that was the last of the year. There are a couple others I'm looking at, but haven't finalized anything. I was really focused on getting this Kickstarter launched. So now hopefully that the pressure is off, I can look into seeing if I want to add any more this year, or just take the W.
Okay. How about social media, website and whatnot?
Yeah. Website is leeexopher.com and all my social media is Lee Exopher. That's LeeExopher. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and DeviantArt. Anything else that I should be on, let me know and I'll make an account.
Okay. And let's talk about the Kickstarter, because I know some people probably are like, oh, you're fully funded. But as we said at the beginning of the episode, there's still a lot of cool stuff to get. So Lee, tell us one more time where we can find the Kickstarter information at.
Yeah. Kickstarter. I have a link to it in all my social media. I'm going to be posting pretty much nonstop about it this whole month. So as long as you follow me, you'll be aware of it. But it is Altered Ego VIP on Kickstarter. It looks like since we've been talking, a few more people have backed, so that's great. I know that we're not live, it's just a coincidence.
Well, we don't have to tell the audience that. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. They know.
The point being that, you know, there's still a lot to get here. As I said, there's a lot of original art, one-of-a-kind pieces that once it's gone, it's gone. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, be sure to check it out and get it while you can. And then more stretch goals. The more money we get, the more free stuff you get.
There you go. Lee, thanks again, man, for coming on. I really have enjoyed it. I hope that you had fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Thanks for having me. I hope we'll do it again next time I have something to talk about.
You got it. Absolutely. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Lee Exopher, talking about his project, Altered Ego. And I want to thank Lee for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And if you get an opportunity, check out the project. It's a real fun comic. I really enjoyed reading it, and I think you will as well. And now it's time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email, johnorlando@PVDcast.com. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single episode. But it's also available through all of those podcasting outlets like Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Deezer, etc., etc. Just go to the search bar of your favorite podcasting app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And there's even an easier way than that to check out each weekly episode. That's by tuning in to the Facebook page every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live Facebook broadcast. It's a whole lot of fun. So there you go. Many different ways to hear this great podcast. And if you listen to any episode, I need you to help me out. I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm for all of these podcasting outlets. If you like what you hear on Facebook, like it as well. That helps me out. Just rate and review. I really need you to do that for me. I greatly appreciate it. And you know what? Also, subscribe so that you never miss a single episode of the PVD cast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later.
stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.